Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of Suven Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the Q4 and FY22 earnings for Suven Pharmaceuticals. We have with us Mr. Venkat Jasti, the Managing Director, and Mr. Venkatraman Sunder, Vice President, Corporate Affairs, and Mr. Subba Rao, CFO. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Documents relating to the company's performance have been mailed to you earlier. I now request Mr. Jasti to share his perspectives on the performance and outlook. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishabh. Good afternoon, everyone who has tuned in for this update on the quarter four results and the year-end results for Suven Pharmaceuticals Limited. I know everybody have the data which is circulated to you guys, and instead of rehashing the same numbers all over again, I think better you ask questions and I clarify them to the best of my knowledge. So I would like you to start the question answer session, Rishabh.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Jasti. Thank you for taking my question. So firstly, now since you've completed this Casper Pharma's acquisition, could you talk a little bit about the opportunity over here? Like, what is the end market size for the six filed products and what kind of visibility we have from the future pipeline that might come from the rising pharma's R&D?
See, at this time, yes, we have taken over this as of April 22nd. And as you know, this is a brand-new facility. There are two ANDAs filed and waiting for the US FDA to come and inspect for us to do the sales activity. Meanwhile, we have, I mean, other than that, we have other 15 products to be filed within the calendar year. I mean, not calendar, within the fiscal year, ANDAs. So as of now, this is the update I can give you because more than that, there's nothing else because we have not started the activity yet. Just taking the position of it and waiting for the US FDA inspection to happen, then the things will start running.
Sir, did you mention two filed products from this facility?
What is it again?
Did you say that we had two filed ANDAs from this?
Yes, two already filed and waiting for the inspection, actually. And the dossier evaluation is by US FDA is under progress and waiting for the US FDA inspection, and 15 more will be filed during the fiscal.
Good. And this 15 products is from the rising partnership and not the existing ANDA that you were doing separately?
No, no, no. This is all for the rising partnership.
Right. So just a clarification over here. I think last quarter you mentioned that this facility has six filed products. So why does this difference now from six to two?
Five products are ready for filing. Two are already filed under evaluation. Three are under compilation and filing. That's by end of June.
Okay. Okay. Secondly, sir, in our scram business growth, so we have had a very healthy growth this quarter. So we just wanted some qualitative update on, you know, are we seeing a big part of this growth led by the COVID drug that was commercialized the last quarter, or, you know, that hasn't been that much of a contribution?
No, it's not the COVID-led growth. It is some of the activities are a small quantities, the COVID-led growth for this quarter, but otherwise it's a overall activity. And as you know, in CRAMS, it is not a guaranteed stuff until it goes to the next level in the clinical trials, and it's very difficult for us to project anything in the future. As usual, we hope to maintain 10-15% growth, but there is always a possibility that if some of the molecules which are in phase 2 moves to phase 3, or phase 3 molecules moves into the pre-launch quantities, then suddenly the volumes can go up also. So as it is, with this good growth last year compared to the year before, and we hope to maintain the same plus around 10-15% growth as of now, we expect.
So what you're saying, it was largely a broad-based growth and not a product-driven growth?
No,
right?
not one.
So any qualitative update in terms of any change in pipeline, you know, on the phase 3 and commercial?
No, not yet. Nothing this quarter.
Right, so 5 commercial and 5 in phase 3.
Commercial, 5 phase 3, and the rest of them are all same at 35.
Right. Okay, I'll get back in the report for the question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Sancheti from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just a follow-up from the earlier participant. What I understand that, you know, there are 5 commercial products in the CRAMS business. Is it that the 5th molecule has started, I mean, Zol started supplying from Q4 onwards? Then are we not going to see a good ramp-up in FY23 and 24? Then your guidance looks little conservative.
We are always conservative and not knowing what is going to happen in the market, because this is all the CRAMS model, not a generic where I can use some kind of a guidance. More or less, and as you know, in the COVID situation also, what is happening situation when the COVID is receding and the growth is muted. So based on that, not having any visibility, I cannot tell how this is going to go after with this COVID. So that's why we had to be conservative, and maintaining that itself is a challenge in the CRAMS business model. And we hope to maintain plus about 10-15% growth we expected on a broad-based activity.
Okay. And sir, on your total formulation and technical services, you know, what I see the number is around 84 crores. Out of that 84 crores, how much is, you know, just formulation sales and your other technical services, if you can give the breakup for FY22?
I mean, it's technical sales is very meager. It will be less than 10%. The rest of them are all formulation sales and the profit share.
Sir, how much did you said? Sorry, I didn't get it.
Less than 10% is the technical sales.
10% is the technical sales. And sir, lastly, on you know, gross margins, we are also seeing inflationary pressure on the raw material prices. So, what is your outlook over there? You know, are the gross margins what currently is been reported? Are we going to sustain that, or we are seeing that, you know, further there will be some downward element to it, or you think that, you know, things are improving from here on?
I mean, it is a status quo as far as the improvement is concerned. I don't see any the rise in cost has come down since last time. But at the same time, not also going up other than the diesel and all these things and the electricity cost. But at the same time, in our business, what you call is the margins, it's all depending on the product mix. Since we are not supplying the same material day in, day out, everything is a dependent. It is changes from quarter on quarter, month on month, and year on year. But at the same time, we said last time, and I'll continue to keep the same number, around 40% plus EBITDA margin, and we'll keep it. But some surprises can happen in the positive side, but around 40% is the what we hope to keep it as a guidance.
Okay, but that would be slightly lower than FY22, right? If you're saying 40% EBITDA margin then?
But we never said it is only we have performed. Doesn't mean that it will be the same, the product mix. So not knowing the product mix, I cannot comment. So that's why we are sticking to the 40%.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yoganj Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, on your Casper acquisition, could you share what is the outlook here? What is your plan going forward with this facility? What kind of product are you filing for the ANDAs that you said? If you could throw some more light on what kind of products these are and what is the kind of revenue potential once these molecules come into production?
So as far as product is concerned, we're not going to reveal it to you at this time until it is approved, okay? So that's a business things we don't want to do it. It's a brand new acquisition and a brand new project. It's not yet inspected by the FDA. As I said earlier, we have filed review by the FDA and expected this second quarter, hopefully the inspection. And we have 15 more to be filed during the fiscal year. So this is the update I can give you, but not the products until it is approved.
Sure, fair enough, sir. And sir, just another clarification on that part. I think in your disclosure to the exchange, we had mentioned that the Casper facility had started in 2016, right? So is it that in 2016 it started commercially or it started getting built in 2016? And if it has started in 2016, what was the business it was doing for last 4-5 years?
When you start a new greenfield business, the construction and the regulations and special economic zones, all those things take time. And as I said, they have constructed, doing only the business of filing the exhibit batches and submission batches and waiting for the, and submitted a couple of ANDAs out of that. And that's all, there is no revenues on that. And the revenues will accrue only when the US FDA comes into the picture and then approvals taken place, then only the sales starts. So it is a brand new facility, completely validated and submitted the dossiers based on the NDAs, who submitted NDAs, ready for 15 more NDAs, just waiting for the US FDA inspection so that the commercial activity can start.
Understood. That's helpful, sir. And sir, lastly, a follow-up on the breakup that you shared about the 5 commercial products and 5 in phase 2, you said, right?
5 commercial.
5 commercial and 5 in which phase, you said?
Phase 3.
Phase 3.
Phase
okay. And again, can you give the second level breakup in terms of how many of these are in these specialty chemicals and how many are in your the other one?
They are different. This is all pharma, what I have talked. 77 in phase 1, 35 in phase 2, 5 in phase 3, 5 in commercial. In specialty chemicals, there are 3 products plus 1 development product.
Okay. Okay. And in terms of pipelines, are we seeing post-COVID companies again getting aggressive in terms of development? Are we seeing more interest there? Or is it still lower? How is the market feeling like?
It is starting. The activity is getting started. Activity is not started now. Not aggressive, but the activity started.
Sure, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, we would request you to please limit your question to 2 at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, just one question from my side. So until now, we used to cater to an innovator, and through Casper acquisition, we are venturing into generic business. So just your thought process, because we were always vocal about not entering this field. So your thought process, does it bring any change in the organization? Just why are we doing this?
You know, even before the Casper acquisition, we had the formulation since the last 7 years. And we are not going after the blockbusters. We are going after those molecules which are very small volume, very niche molecules where not many people will come, which is a leverage exercise. The same thing will go in the Casper also. I mean, a little bit more number because it's a focus way. But we don't have any problem with our innovators. They are in the full know about it, and some of them were even discussing in developing the dossiers for them in the preclinical stage if needed as a service. So everybody knows there is no hesitation from the big pharma. See, the thing is what we are doing in the big pharma, in the CRAM side of the business, is there is no IP related. These are all the intermediates and known products. There is nothing we are copying or contradicting each other or anything like that. And this is a misapprehension by the investors, but not the customers.
Okay, fair enough. And so last thing, a couple of years back, we had mentioned in the annual report that we wanted to go higher up the value chain from intermediates to API to maybe formulations. So just if you can qualitatively highlight how are we on this journey over the last 2 years and how do we speed
up? Actually, we started with three of our customers for the forward integration, and they are inclined to do, as I said, that it will take 2 to 3 years before they can come on board for that kind of activity. But unfortunately, the COVID has stopped all the things. Not only that, even regular visits also stopped. So we hope during this year, for this fourth stage don't come up. Hopefully, third quarter onwards, you will see the visitors coming in and the activity will start. Based on that, it will take a couple of years before you can see any forward integration activity to take place.
Okay. So just to understand this, 2-3 customers of ours used to take maybe intermediates from us, and they have shown some interest that we would want to forward integrate with you guys.
Not only for the existing products, but also for those life cycle management. Like that means if the big pharma has a product which is expiring soon and they want to continue the market, they want to have a partner who can do that rather than themselves doing that, both API and the formulation itself. That's where the activity will come. And when that's the intermediates, if we're supplying N-2, maybe N-1, and eventually the API itself. So these are some of the activities we are targeting. And only time will tell when actually they come or not. They know the facility, but the team will be different and the strategy will be different. So, okay, a couple of years we have to wait before you see any result on that.
Great. Good to know, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshit Shah from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question pertains to the cash and investments which lies in our book, including the mutual funds. So that's roughly around 525 crores. And I understand we're spending 150 odd crore in Casper and 60 crore as dividends we want to distribute. So is there any other plan to utilize this cash apart from the normal capex that we would be doing in Suven Pharma?
Not thought of yet, and it's only used for the normal capex at this time, but we have not thought of any other way to do, we have not thought of anything on that.
Yeah, because we'll be obviously generating another 350, 400 crore kind of operating cash this year itself. So, want to kind of pile up on the existing cash. So,
just because we have cash, I can't go into the market and acquire, no? So, the opportunity which meets our requirements, I don't want to go to mom and pop operations where I drag my margins down just for the sake of top-line growth. No, we'll wait for the right opportunity, and also we'll see how to utilize the cash properly rather than just because we have, I don't want to go on a sharp spree.
Sure. And sir, and on the rising sale where we got 41 million, so that's roughly 310 crores in our subsidiary. So has that money been kind of got back in our company, or is something still lying with Suven Pharma Inc.?
No, we have brought back the money.
Okay,
very,
so all...
Very residual amount is there, and the residual stake in Rising Holdings are there.
Okay, so all this other income, basically whatever we have is through that dividends we have infused.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Kader Puranwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just one clarification on the products which are filed to the Casco side. Sir, in this, the margins would be identical as what your current formulation business would be?
Yes.
Okay, okay. And secondly, sir, on the 600 crore capex plan, so if you could share some details of where we are and, you know, how your capex project for the next 2 years would look like.
Yeah, it is a 3-year plan, and as I said last con call also, that just we started the activity, may to start within the Suryapet facility, and we'll be spending that money before the end of the year. And with respect to the other expansions and movement of the R&D center has not started yet because the mandate is not, there is not important. Immediately it has to be there, but we have only apportioned that money. And we are waiting for the other block to be started in Pasha Minor facility, maybe 3 to 4 months from now.
Okay. Okay, so sir, could you just count to some the absolute number which you would spend in 23 and 24?
You said which year?
Sir, for 20, for the next fiscal, FY23.
Oh, it will be around 250 crores at least, 300 maximum, 250 to max, 300 crores max.
Okay. Okay, okay. And so my just final question on the cash conversion cycle. The data days for the fiscal as for fiscal FY22 has increased quite a bit. So you see that getting normalized in FY23, and if you could also highlight what led to this increase.
You are talking about the cash flows?
Yeah, I'm talking about the receivable.
Receivables is why was it there? He was asking.
Yeah, but you know, from the previous year, obviously it is higher, right? The revenue has gone up.
They will normalize within a month's time. Usually, end of the quarter, end of the year, it looks big numbers, but they are normal. They are not too old due. It's all based on the sales, and sometimes it goes in the last month. It may come in the first week or second week of the year.
Normally, 60 days.
Yeah. There is no difference other than when we have the, shipped the product.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saravanan from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
I have two questions. One on the taxation. This year, is the tax high because of the dividends? And what is the guidance for the FY23 tax rate?
It will be normal tax. See, FY23 will be normal tax around 25%. That's what we expect. But this year is basically because, the U.S. tax and Indian tax, including the dividend tax there, actually, all put together is higher. That's what it is.
Okay, got it. And formulations, from a yearly perspective, FY22, we saw moderate growth of 5%. So in the next 2 to 3 years, what are the strategies here? Because I think a year before, we had expected formulations to be 1/3 of the revenues by FY24 or 25. Are we on track to achieve it?
No, because it is taking time to get the inspections done and on the filing also. And when the numbers goes up, naturally the volumes will go up and the profitability will go up. That's what we hope to achieve in 3 to 4 years' time. That's what we said. Now, it's not that it's a guaranteed thing, because it all depends on the product. Because when we choose a product, it may look guaranteed, but when we file actually, it may be different. So we cannot tell. Right now, things are going a little bit slow, but now it's speeding up, and I hope the US FDA will give us the permissions as we file the number of ANDAs, and that will give us the revenue growth.
Okay. But from a mid to long term perspective, your investments in formulations would continue, right? The filings and capacity.
Yes, yes, yes,
any capacity you have acquired now?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I mean, in cancer itself, we are filing 15 more during the financial year, and another 5 to 7 more in the Suven Pharma FDA facility in Pharmailaram. So it will be around 20 filings will happen during the 22-23, and, you know, the timeline it takes for the approvals, and then, so all in, I mean, in the long run, yes, it will come up.
And Casper, US FDA expectation, are you expecting in the next two quarters? Any indicative timeline?
Yeah, it should be any time. That's what we're expecting. Any time, but we are not getting any. Because nowadays, they're just giving you a week notice to come to us. But we're based on the two ANDAs that are pending, we hope to get that within the second quarter itself.
And front end, you would always operate through partners in formulations, right?
We are not going to have our own marketing department. No, we'll have various partners.
Okay, got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, and congratulations for good number. On Casper acquisition, wanted to check whether consideration has already been paid to Casper.
Everything is paid. It is in our position as of 22nd of April.
So, short-term investment, that 300 crore additional is all related to realization from Rising Pharma, that 44 million, that is sitting in short-term investment, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, despite this, the capex, we have we'll have a surplus cash and a very good amount of cash going forward. So, anything if you could give some color where we are going to invest it, or do we have any plan for inorganic expansion or anything that sort of?
No, as of now, nothing. We'll be thinking about it. First, we want to consider the things
and capitalization
and capex plans. So we'll be utilizing it. And as I said earlier, if an opportunity comes which meets our requirements, then certainly we'll go for the inorganic. But right now, nothing is in the cards.
Okay. Okay, fine. And the two product which we have filed through Casper, that two product, how critical this product is, because pre-approval inspection is pending. So just you wanted to understand, is this a critical product or just a simple product? It will be easy going for getting inspection and getting done.
No, there are regular products only. There is nothing like a simple product that attracts the US FDA to come and inspect. These are the things which we have chosen, and this is through the Rising partnership. They have filed actually, because if we got this only 15 days ago, right? These are all filed by them at the time.
Okay. Okay, fine. And the last one, in last call also, you indicated that 6 months, including this quarter and probably next quarter, you had a visibility of CDMO, business coming in, the kind of flow. Going forward, we do not have much visibility. So because now we are already in last quarter of this fiscal, can we give some qualitative indication what kind of things, in second half of FY23 is going to come? Because what we believe that this 6 months has been a very good. So whether this kind of thing will continue going forward?
No, in these grants, you cannot guarantee yourself because it all depends on the success of the molecule at the clinical trials. So that's why we give you a ballpark figure of 10 to 15% growth. But things can happen in a JP and you can have a 30-40% growth also for a particular molecule or particular quarter. But that I cannot give you right now because it's not a thing where I can go put salespersons and keep on selling it. It's not a generic and it has to be a success at the clinical trial before they can place an order. So it's very difficult for us to give any guidance.
Okay, fine. And a specialty chemical, the one development, one product is in development stage. So how big, how is the potential of this product?
Which one is that?
Specialty chemicals, one is in development.
Yeah, one is the development. I mean, it takes time. I mean, it takes another year before you can see the, what do you call the, any kind of a pre-commercialization. Even the third one, which we have sold last year, this will have a gap of about 18 to 24 months before you get the repeat business. So just because we have commercial quantity supplied doesn't mean that it will be right away coming in. They also have the field test to be done based on that one and all that stuff. So right now things are going well, but the fourth molecule, which is the developmental one, is likely to be sometime in 2030. We don't know yet the exact timeline on that.
But is it going to be a sizable one? Or
no. I told last time itself, so it's all 40 to 50 crores. Kind of thing, not like the one which you have, that first compound which has a huge volume, not that.
Okay. Thanks. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to understand for the formulation business, the molecules, the 15 molecules that we are planning to file, are they also of the same kind, let's say small molecule, generic, with less competition, or is there any different strategy?
Yeah, these things which the Casper, they are all derived by the Rising, because the Casper facility was Rising until last month, and they have decided the molecules, and they are all the normal molecules only. And whereas in Suven, we choose those molecules with less volume and less niche molecules. So it will be a mix of things that will be in the future.
Okay. So these would be regular generic molecules, let's say these 15 molecules that the filing would be with them.
Regular
generic molecules.
Right.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Agarwal from Sage One Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Also, just one question on Casper again. Given that you mentioned that this would largely be all generic, can we expect overall some margin dilution once numbers come from this particular asset?
Margin dilution?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in the generics, what is the margins? It's the same margins I told yesterday, I mean, earlier also. The margins will be the same as whatever we are getting here in the farm, I mean, Suven also. It will be around 25 percentage points.
And in terms of overall potential from that particular asset, do we have any number in mind?
No, not yet. We are working on the numbers because we just got it and we have to evaluate it. And our concentration is now mainly for the filings and toward the inspection. And we'll get into that things in due course of time.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of B.P. Vedanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon to you, sir. I've been with Suven for the last nearly a decade. I think it was only a CDMO business. Then knowing FTG slowly went into specialty and now then the ANDA programs and formulations. Now I see Suven positioned itself, this is my reading, is the next phase of growth. It is actually now with the Casper acquisition, now it's got a four-pronged strategy. Its own ANDA as well as now Casper Pharma's ANDAs. Now, seeing the amount of workload, do you assume that you will be now looking forward to hive off and or maybe branch out a particular CEO for a particular business model in due course?
No. We have every division has a vice president who takes care of it. My job is only strategy and coordination. I don't look after each any division for that matter. So we have people, you may call it whatever it may be, but we have individual operated by each unit is operated by a vice president who is capable of delivering goods.
This additional workload on Casper Pharma, would it entail additional employees to be employed, or will the current strength with Suven, will you be dividing it between the two companies, like the two plants?
I think we are doing that already at the formulation division, the specialty chemicals division and the grants division all the time. And I said, I'm not doing the work day to day, and people are there, each and everyone. This Casper acquisition, we got 150 people came along with it who are running the business. We took over the business and they are capable of running it. And my job is to coordinate and strategize. That's all I do.
Okay. And last question, sir. On 73031, is it progressing as anticipated, at least at the moment, after the COVID thing has got over?
Yeah, it started picking up, but now again, with this fourth stage or fourth wave or whatever it is a little bit slowed, but much better than last year.
So, and the results will be like as anticipated during this year, year end, and the actual results by next year before March?
Yeah, yeah. The results will be around March end. I mean, the trial will be over by March end, and the results will be in the second quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hussein Kagzi from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So, sir, my question was with regards to Specialty Chem. I believe you have given that you would like to grow 10 to 15% in this quarter in the grams, pharma grams business. But what's the outlook on Specialty Chem? Because if I understand correctly, we do have a better visibility over there from the client side. And given that last year, FY22, we had a molecule being commercialized. So that's why we saw 50% growth. So from here on, what's the visibility that you have in the near term on this business?
Yes, in specialty chemicals, there will not be much growth. As a matter of fact, your understanding is wrong also. Not the volume is not gone because of the one launching which you have done. That's only a small part of it. But the old molecule which lost out some of the patents in some countries, now they have a combination product they have done. They have increased the volumes because of that. And the volume growth is mainly because of the original molecule, not because of the launch molecule. And the growth potential on that is not much, because the one that is launched last year, they will not have any requirement for the next 12 to 18 months. So we can say it's a flat growth.
Understood. And just one clarification was that our employee expenses in this quarter did shoot up quite much compared to, quarter on quarter and year on year. So is this attributed to the capex and we hired additional staff over there, or is it the increments that we've given out?
It's a combination of additional staff and also additional increments due combination.
Okay, understood. So I just wanted to understand that by the time our new CAPEX comes online, we will have some incremental expenses on our below the gross profit line. Is that fair to understand?
Incremental expenses and incremental revenue also will happen, no? It's a combination. Without the revenue, there is no expense. Without the expense, there is no revenue. So it will happen.
Sir. I meant since by the time the facilities come online, so till that time we'll have
pre-operative expense is always there, no sir? Because even though the facility will be up and running, say suppose in January, I need to have people to do the validations and checking on those things and 3 to 4 months ahead of time, right? So all those pre-operative expenses also will come to picture. But that will be offset by the revenues that we're going to generate later part of the start of the operation.
Understood. That's it from my
But opinion. I don't have an offer right now.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. I understand. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedika Singh from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. It's Vineet Dalla here from Monarch. Sir, just one question. You mentioned that the margins that you do on the generic business, the formulation business, will be at par with the current brand business. So that would include a huge element of profit share, right?
No, you didn't hear me properly. I said the current formulation the margins, which is 25%, the same thing will be there for the generic business.
Okay, so 25% EBITDA margin is what we are assuming for U.S. generic business, is that right?
The EBITDA margins on the formulations will be around 25% compared to 40% of the cramp side of the business.
Correct. So like overall, most of our CapEx is pivot towards formulation. And as and when, you know, the this profit pool from formulation keeps on increasing, won't it be margin dilutive over, say, like 4-5 years?
What is it again? I couldn't hear you properly.
So overall, if we are investing significantly on the U.S. generic business, and if this business is going to contribute, say, like 25% margin versus, you know, 45% margin on CDMO, over the next 4 to 5 years, won't our overall margin dilute from our current base right now?
We are not investing on the formulations in a big way. We invested only 20 million now.
No, but what he is saying is in 4 to 5 years time, this is 25% and 40%, so the total mix will be less. But as you know, you have to go by our track record, and things are changing. Even in the cramps itself, it can come down, right? If the product mix is such that they are not have value add. So we hope that it will not be that much of a dilution.
Okay. And also, sir, what would be the element of profit share that we have? Because initially, I mean, we were engaging on a profit share basis with Rising Pharma. So what would be that element beyond the 25% that we are guiding?
Whatever the generation, whatever the value that is coming as a profit share and the sales both put together, right? So the margins will be based on the total put together. It will be 25%.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's it from us. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shiva Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just want to know the status of the succession plan. Is it the right forum to raise question about the Suven Lifesciences?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, we have been into the research for the Alzheimer for almost more than a decade. But not much breakthrough has been achieved. So just want to know, as part of the research, are we also referring to the Indian medical system like Ayurveda Siddha for a possible solution, or we still, or we go purely by the Western medical system?
We are going into the central nervous system disorders. That is our target area. We are not deviating out of it. And from the beginning, we keep telling it is a 0 to 1. There is no guarantees in this business. And since there is 2002-3, there is no new drugs developed in the CNS arena where we are working. It's not only us. It's the globally the same scenario. This is a huge unmet medical need. We are working. That's the only capabilities we have. We are not going to Unani or Siddha. And we will continue to do this. But you have to be very careful that this is a 0 to 1. There is no in-between, either success or a failure. And it can take years, 2 decades, 3 decades, anything can happen. So this is the caution you have to take when you are investing into this kind of activities.
Okay. Okay, sir. And regarding my first question, what is the status of the succession plan?
Thank you. We lost his line, so we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for follow-up. Just one more clarification I wanted. In this quarterly result, you see that the gross margin is very similar to your sequential previous quarter in Q3 or even Q2 also. We had a similar level of margin. Although in that three quarters, the input cost for most of chemicals and basic materials has gone up significantly. So I wanted to understand that how we have been able to maintain this gross margin. Or is it built in our, revenue contract with customer? My question was related to gross margin. So for last three quarters, our gross margin has been, in a similar level. Despite that, in three quarters, the input cost has, gone up significantly for most of, basic chemicals and the inputs. So how we have been able to maintain this? So is it any escalation clause or anything in our revenue agreement with the client?
No, not the escalation clause. As you know, as I will be telling all the time, these margins can differ from quarter to quarter or sometimes year to year also. These are all the product mix that is available. So what stage of the molecules we are supplying, is it early stage, so the values would be less, margins will be less if it's the phase 3 and phase 4, phase 2, phase 3 and commercial quantities, then the values will be more. So it's a product mix effect. And as I said, when the new projects are there, when we know that project prices are going up, we will actually take those new prices into consideration and quote it. But when once you got the price, the purchase order, we cannot change it because it's a one-off kind of thing, unlike a regular product which we sell day in, day out, then we can have a passing on the cost. So it has an effect on it still because of the products which are high margin in this quarter or in this year. That's why you see the good profit margin, not because of anything else. We're not passed on. But some of them we have told them when we're quoting and they have accepted the prices.
Maybe I think it's just a coincidence because in the last three quarter we have 69.2, 69.5, 69.7. So that number looks a very, very exactly similar. And so going forward also, can we expect this kind of
thing? I think that's it's very difficult
to we need to have some kind of standard, but you really don't know. Based on the product mix.
It's all based on the product mix itself. Okay. Yeah, it can be better also, but it can also come down. And that's why we said EBITDA will be around 40%.
Okay. That clarifies. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. Can you just give us the numbers on the A&D filings, total approved commercial and all that?
We have filed about 17, 9 approved, 8 launched, but not all of the 8 are really active. That's why you don't see much growth in there. And we hope to file another 7 to 8 during this calendar year in the existing formulation facility. When it comes to the Casper, which is not yet commercialized, the 2 are already filed waiting for the US FDA approval. 15 products are under development and dossier preparation, which will be filed before the end of the fiscal.
Right. And lastly, sir, a qualitative comment on the next 6 months visibility.
Which one, sir?
Next. Any comment on the next 6 months visibility on the CRAMS business? Which we typically get?
It's going in a similar run rate.
Similar run rate.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Jain from Galaxy International. Please go ahead.
Some follow-up questions. So I just wanted to understand if we are planning to offer the formulation development services also. Are we building up an organization or planning for that as of now?
We started as a formulation development division only, then forward integrated into the generic, I mean, ANDA formulations and leveraging the experience we have. So we don't need to create any more. We have enough capacity and capability. Only whenever that comes in, we'll take it up happily.
Right. Okay. And just a second question. So any plans or thoughts on biotechnology or oncology at this point of time for the CRAM side?
No, this CRAM side, there is no differentiation, only small molecule, not biotechnology.
Oh, but oncology needs some special facility, right? So which at this point of time we don't have, right?
Oncology need not be biotechnology, there is chemistry. So chemistry can be oncology also. We have also oncology products. We are not doing the final product, but we are doing the intermediate for the oncology products already. That is always there.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for tuning in for this quarter ended March 31st and also for the year ended March 31st results. And during this challenging time, so we could do good and with good profit margins and with a good product mix. And as I said, the visibility is very less, and we hope to achieve 10 to 15% growth or normal growth. If something happens positive, that would be good for everyone. Things are, hope things will stay the same and we get more opportunities to bid on the new projects and the new activity will start with the global pharma, which will increase the our bandwidth also, and also the effects of the molecules in the clinical trial. Based on that, our revenues and the, will accrue. So with this, I thank each and everyone and hope to catch up with you during hours.
Thank you. On behalf of Suven Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.